When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Steelers' offense is showing signs of life. Is it just in time for a second half run or too little, too late? Welcome to the Steelers Update from Penn Live, where we keep track of all things Steelers so you don't have to. This is John Lucy reporting. Don't look now, but the Steelers' offense, once given up for dead, may just have something going. The running game, particularly the hole-hitting pop of undrafted Jaylen Warren, is chewing up clock and yards. Much-touted number one draft pick, tackle Broderick Jones, is making a strong case to be installed as a starter, albeit at right tackle, for the second half of the season. Offensive coordinator Matt Canada came down from his perch in the coach's box to better communicate with players on the sideline. He proceeded to call his best game of the season versus the Titans. Much like manna from heaven, receiver Deontay Johnson ended his near two-year touchdown drought on a perfect Kenny Pickett pass in the fourth quarter to overtake Tennessee. And now, a defiant Mike Tomlin just shut down media criticism of his two second-year offensive stars, struggling starting QB Kenny Pickett and disgruntled wide receiver George Pickens. Could all this be the spark that finally ignites some offensive fireworks in Pittsburgh, starting with the incoming Green Bay Packers this Sunday in a clash of classic football franchises at Acrisure Stadium? Or is it too little, too late? Well, by comparison, the stymied Steelers still appear to be laggards in their own division. That's the loaded AFC North, where every team is currently a playoff contender. The Baltimore Ravens are ruling the roost at the top with a 7-2 record. Yeah, but one of those losses was to the Steelers, and that's nice. Still, quarterback Lamar Jackson and the offense are hitting their stride, and the defense is rising up and clamping down for the stretch run ahead. Everyone else in the North is 5-3, but the stories behind those standings are vastly different. After another slow start to the season, Joe Burrow and the Bengals are again looking like the AFC power they've been these past few seasons. Another Super Bowl run is in their sights. Even in downtrodden Cleveland, Myles Garrett and the defense are swarming, and high-priced quarterback Deshaun Watson is back under center and trying to find his sea legs as the starter. And that's following his extended NFL ban for bad behavior with female massage therapists. So, where do the Steelers fit in? Many in the national media insist they don't. The main reason for this, according to the negative national narrative, well, it's Kenny Pickett himself. Potent pigskin pundit Colin Cowherd seems to be making a career out of picking on Pickett. In his latest anti-Steelers screed, Cowherd is totally writing off Kenny as well as his team, because he says the Steelers refuse to see what's clear to the rest of the NFL, namely that Pickett's not the guy. Quote, nobody thinks Kenny Pickett's got the arm, the juice, the it. Nobody, because he doesn't, Cowherd bellowed. Well, similar criticism of Kenny and questioning of the sustainability of his starting role are also dominating the sports talk airwaves in the 412 area code. But when a Pittsburgh reporter dared to question Kenny's quarterback competence in the first three quarters of games at a testy Tomlin press conference on Tuesday, the loquacious coach retorted with a full-throated statement of support for Pickett, particularly his penchant for fourth-quarter heroics. Quote, "What's his rating in the fourth quarter?" Tomlin shot back. "Well, just ask it from that perspective. He's awesome in the fourth quarter. Man, he rises up in those moments. He wants to be the reason why we're successful. He prepares his tail off. In some instances, when people run from challenges, he runs to challenges. So that's why his performance is so good in the fourth. Those other quarters, we'll work on," unquote. Wow. Talk about a coach signaling his full confidence and steadfast support as a way of sparking his beleaguered quarterback. If you're Kenny Pickett, that's got to feel great. More importantly, it's got to get you fired up to prove worthy of your coach's constant belief in you. Now, let's see if it works. But Tomlin wasn't done destroying those negative media narratives and having the backs of his young offensive players. This after the much-praised George Pickens came under media scrutiny for his down-in-the-mouth behavior on the field and then posting "Free Me" on Instagram while deleting his Steelers mentions, all in wake of teammate Deontay Johnson snagging his first touchdown since the Ben Roethlisberger era in the Titans game. Pickens, meanwhile, was mostly shut out by Tennessee last Thursday. The latter caught two passes for minus 1 yard in the 20-16 come-from-behind Steelers win. Pickens' poor personal production seemed to outweigh being happy for a teammate and enjoying a Steelers victory. In short, he looked selfish. With the Pittsburgh media on watch over whether Pickens could be the second coming of a gifted pass catcher, but a social media clown, such as Antonio Brown, a tart Tomlin shut it all down as press-contrived reality TV. Quote, "It's like reality television, the way you guys follow social media and write stories about it," Tomlin said. "I know it's a cute story for you guys, but it's a pebble in my shoe, to be quite honest with you, in terms of the things that I have to do in an effort to get this group ready to play this week," unquote. Tomlin tried to turn the Pickens controversy from a problem into a positive, going on to say this, quote, "He wants to be significant. He wants to be a reason why we are successful. I don't begrudge that. I want guys who want the football. I want guys who want to be central reasons why we are successful. So that's a non-issue, to be quite honest with you," unquote. Well, perhaps it will be the non-issue that Tomlin says it is. Well, until the next time Pickens doesn't get the football, we shall see. Still, Tomlin's very purposeful and public display of squelching these media fires by passionately backing two of his most consequential and controversial players could be the rallying cry these 2023 Steelers and this offense needs. If offensive output continues to pick up from the positive signs seen last Thursday night, Tomlin's actions this week could be seen as a turning point, and one that comes just in time. For beginning on Sunday versus the Packers, these Steelers have little margin for error in their red-hot, highly competitive division. They absolutely must have this win on Sunday in order to go 2-1 on their current three-game homestand. That's because six of their final eight games are on the road. Above all, they'll face all three of their powerful AFC North foes in highly hostile environments. Plus, those hard-to-beat Bengals will also come calling at Acrisure as well, and it occurs on the night before Christmas. This brutal test presented by the best division in pro football will determine whether the Steelers really belong or not. A passionate coach's words can create a spark, but it's the players who must carry the fire. Well, we're going to have much more on the pair of Pittsburgh controversies involving Pickett and Pickens, plus a preview of the Packers test presented this Sunday at Acrisure Stadium, all in this Coach Speak edition of your Steelers Update podcast. Hey, and be sure to check out my full print column first thing Thursday on Penn Live. As always, it will be packed with plenty of memes, bringing the latest greatest Steelers debates, along with Coach Tomlin's testy retorts, to life and to laughs. Right now, let's get right to it. Despite Mike Tomlin's steadfast defense, the question remains whether Pittsburgh has a problem with two of their most important second-year offensive starters, that being QB Kenny Pickett and potential superstar receiver George Pickens. Let's tackle the Pickens question first. For that, we turn to the always reliable Mark Caboli, who consistently goes beyond the surface to determine the true meaning and significance of these Steelers controversies in the locker room. Here's how Caboli reads the Pickens situation in a penetrating piece for The Athletic. He writes this, quote, "Tomlin's response was all about not making it a bigger story than it is, even if he believed it is a big story. Even if Tomlin was upset, he wasn't going to make that available for public consumption. Not in that setting. Not now. Some players respond well to that kind of criticism, and others don't. Maybe Pickens doesn't. But it is out there as a controversy, and other players have acknowledged it." Here's the quote from Allen Robinson, Steelers veteran receiver, from Monday. Quote, "We've continually talked to him and communicated with him. He's a significant player in this league and is going to attract a significant amount of attention from defenses trying to take him away," unquote. Tomlin now was well within his rights to dismiss the social media post made by one of his players, and that sure seemed to be what he was focusing on, the social media aspect of it. Tomlin is very good at selecting one part of the narrative and dismissing that, at least in the public eye. What is concerning, and what Tomlin didn't mention in his unhappiness with the media, is the macro part of the situation. It's not that Pickens is a diva, and people in Pittsburgh have weathered their share of diva fatigue, from Hines Ward to Antonio Brown to Martavius Bryant to Juju Smith-Schuster to Chase Claypool. Understandably, the masses are on edge when they see the same thing happening again. A star receiver unhappy with his personal production and the head coach flippantly dismissing the public like someone is trying to drum up drama. I can assure you, somebody within the organization has addressed Pickens' behavior to his face, whether it was wide receivers coach Frisman Jackson or Tomlin himself. There is just no real benefit to making that public knowledge. I get that. You should get that. Pickens' biggest issue is that he wants to be great, and who can blame him for that? And when he doesn't produce, sometimes he lets his emotions get the best of him, just like many of the great receivers in the NFL. But let's not totally dismiss Pickens being at fault. There is plenty of blame that should be heaped upon Pickens for another reason that doesn't involve a social media account. You can be unhappy that you have only 3 catches and 10 targets in 2 games. You can be upset when you have 1 catch and lose the game. What is unacceptable is what we saw on the field in between plays against the Titans. a total lack of respect for his teammates. Pickens needed to be consoled on the sidelines mid-game by offensive coordinator Matt Canada because his quarterback threw a bad ball. And after Deontay Johnson scored the go-ahead touchdown, his first TD in 655 days, Pickens turned and ran to the sideline while others celebrated with Johnson. That's your teammate who has struggled more than anybody over the last 2 years to get into the end zone, and you don't even congratulate him. Your quarterback, who has also struggled, made a spot-on throw, and nothing from you? Your team wins the game, and you are, by far, the first player off the field and quickly gone from the locker room. If you don't think that gets the attention of other players, then you don't know football. Pickens' failure to support his teammates was a much bigger deal than posting "Free Me" on Instagram. Yet that tends to be overlooked by far too many. Steelers need Pickens to have a successful offense, and if he isn't going to play the team game, then they are doomed. Unquote. Wow. That is such a great take on the potential for this Pickens issue to get out of control in Pittsburgh. And again, it comes from Mark Caboli and The Athletic, and I urge you to read his stuff regularly on The Athletic. It is great coverage of the Steelers. Again, his take, this isn't about social media, and that's what Tomlin was addressing, the social media aspect. It's about the team dynamic and George Pickens not taking part of that dynamic because of his immature disappointment with his personal production in any given game. Caboli nails it, and we thank him for this insight. And now that we know the real story and the real significance of Pickens' anti-team behavior, we can monitor it going forward, and we'll see whether Tomlin is effective at handling it internally. That will be the true test of this coach and his disgruntled receiver. It's Pickens with whom Tomlin must deal, not the media. Now that's enough of the negative. We hear plenty of that from the likes of Colin Cowherd and company. Let's focus on what Kenny Pickett, Matt Canada, and the offense are doing right these days. For this, we turn to Caboli's counterpart at the Athletic, Mike DeFabo. In a detailed post on the Titans game and what the offense did differently, DeFabo identifies 9 key factors that have this Steelers attack on the rise. Again, I urge you to read the entire piece, but we'll give you a taste of it right here. DeFabo writes, quote, during the Steelers' 20-16 win, the offense produced season highs in rushing yards with 166, first downs with 22, and third down conversion rate of 50%. Matt Canada, moving out of the coach's box and down to the sidelines, stole the headlines. But the truth is there were many other more significant changes that the coordinator's move kind of overshadowed. So what were they? Well, DeFabo says, quote, after the Steelers won the opening coin toss Thursday, they took the ball, and Kenny Pickett led the offense on a 10-play, 78-yard touchdown drive. It was the first time Pittsburgh scored a touchdown on its opening drive since December 18, 2022, unquote. In short, they started fast for a change. But there's more. DeFabo says, quote, Broderick Jones, who is likely to be the future at left tackle, made his first career start at right tackle. The Steelers also opened up the playbook to highlight the skill set that made Jones a first-round pick. They used the 6'5", 311-pound lineman in space as a puller on runs and out in front of screens, unquote. And about that running game, DeFabo says there were other positive differences that produced results, writing, quote, Canada called a season-high 21 designed runs from shotgun against Tennessee, averaging 5.3 yards per carry. They had 22 such plays total in the three games prior combined. By spreading Tennessee out, the Steelers manufactured lighter boxes, running against a six-man box a season high 14 times for a season best 107 yards and 7.6 yards per carry. Najee Harris especially benefited. He got 19 carries, 2.7 per game against a six-man box before week 9. Then he got 8 against the Titans, 6 of those out of the shotgun. Jaylen Warren ran the ball 5 times against a six-man box after averaging just 2 such attempts in the 7 previous games, unquote. Hey, we all know that running game needs to keep rolling. And here's another reason why it should, again, as identified by DeFabo. Quote, against the Titans, the Steelers called many more gap scheme runs, pulling guards and tackles as lead blockers. Per Pro Football Focus, they ran 13 zone runs and 13 gap scheme runs on Thursday. The gap scheme runs included several significant positive plays, unquote. I'll give you one more of these positive factors we're seeing with that Steelers O. But again, check out the full Athletic piece for a complete rundown of this Steelers offensive revamp. It's got plenty of insight, and just like this one, again, from DeFabo. Quote, through the first 7 weeks, the Steelers ran play action on running downs just 27.6% of the time. That's the third lowest rate in the league. They increased that number on Thursday night to 36.8%, which was 10th highest for all of week 9. Steelers also threw the ball 33% of the time when they lined up under center, a season high. Part of that is because the Steelers established the run to make the Titans respect it, but they also broke away from all their tendencies established through the first 7 games, unquote. Ooh, I'll tell you, I mean, you're getting into lots of details there with DeFabo and his breakdown of the offense and what we saw differently against the Titans and hopefully going forward. Let's hope these key offensive improvements signal a sustainable Steelers attack going forward. In that AFC North, they are going to need it. But first up, before the Steelers face that division gauntlet, they must deal with Green Bay. So what will they face this Sunday? For that, we turn to Adam Bittner and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, a pair that always provides us with a great pregame preview. Well, it turns out Kenny Pickett isn't the only QB on the hot seat. The Packers passer Jordan Love is under intense scrutiny in Cheeseland. Bittner writes this, quote, the first-year starter has been ordinary to this point in 2023. Through week 9, he's completing just 59.6% of his passes for an average of 6.6 yards per attempt and has 12 touchdowns against 8 interceptions. That's not the best ratio to go with a passer rating of 81.9. Love is no spring chicken either. This is his 4th season in the NFL, putting the Packers under some contractual pressure if they wish to keep him. All this is why they've scuffled to a 3-5 record and could be in the mix for a solid pick in the upcoming NFL draft. All these factors led general manager Brian Gutnutz not to commit to Love as the long-term starter when he was asked about him last week. Instead, he said the remaining 10 games will be crucial in evaluating Love's future, which gives him a lot to play for when he faces the Steelers' defense this week, unquote. In other words, high stakes, just the way we like it in the Big Bad Berg. But in addition to a shaky QB, the Steelers' defense will see a subpar running attack by the Pack as well. So says Adam Bittner, writing this, quote, leading rusher A.J. Dillon has really struggled to find traction. He averages just 3.3 yards per carry and has 0 runs of 20 more yards while getting the bulk of the reps in place of Aaron Jones, who's been battling injury. Jones has a better, when healthy, record. He averages 4 yards per attempt, but he also doesn't have a rush over 20 yards this season and averages fewer than 40 yards per game individually. Love is the only one who's shown a real burst from his QB position. He averages 5.9 yards with 3 longer rushes and 2 touchdowns, unquote. The lesson there is to bear down on Love so he doesn't get loose with his legs. On the other side of the football, the Packers do pack a respectable pass rush, meaning rookie Broderick Jones and the rest of the O-line better bear down in order to protect Kenny Pickett. Bittner writes this, quote, "The Packers' 20 sacks rank in the bottom half of the league, but aren't dramatically behind the Steelers' own total of 26. And they have multiple threats to look out for. Former Michigan standout Rashawn Gary leads the way with 4.5 sacks. Behind him, Preston Smith and Kenny Clark have 4 each themselves. It's been just enough to help a pretty solid group of defensive backs hold opposing offenses to 196 passing yards per game. That figure ranks a solid 9th in the entire NFL. So passing against the Packers won't necessarily be an easy assignment for the Steelers' Kenny Pickett." Unquote. Again, all the setup from Adam Bittner, 2 quarterbacks who are kind of struggling going against 2 pretty solid defenses. And of course, it's a 2-class football franchises clashing at Acrisure Stadium on Sunday. Steelers are obviously out to prove they are on the rise in that white-hot AFC North. It should be a good game, one that could mark an inflection point for the second half that will be a gauntlet for these 2023 Steelers. Hopefully, their best football is ahead, and all that's left to say is go Steelers, beat that pack. Hey, and yours truly will be at that game to bring you all the best storylines and the hottest takes in next Wednesday's edition of your Steelers Update podcast. So be sure and sign up for the podcast. Get it fresh, steaming hot, every Wednesday afternoon as soon as it is off of my microphone. And we'll see you then next Wednesday and give you all the lowdown on what we hope is a high point of the Steelers season by beating the Packers.